We saw yesterday two alternative pshatim in the Mishnah. There seems to have been some change with regard to the way we look at the Oisvei Shvius or Soichairei Shvius. And the second pshat, and that we need to revisit for a moment, was that even though under ordinary circumstances, obviously, you're not allowed to plant the land on Shmita, it's an absolute Issa. But over here, they were Anosim. What do Anosim mean? They were forced. Why were they forced? Because they were heavily taxed by the Melech. So Rabbi Yannai announced that everybody's allowed to plant the field. So the question was, obviously we understand that if it's now Mutter, even though it didn't used to be, but now it's Mutter, so obviously you'd no longer be considered Posel Leedus. That we can understand. But what's not so clear is, why indeed is it Mutter? How can you possibly be Matir and Issa Doiraisa just because of financial reasons? No such thing. So Rashi already alluded to this, and Rashi says, no, because we're talking about Bizman Hazeh, and Bizman Hazeh, Shemitah is not Deraisa. In fact, Shemitah is only Derabonon. If it's Derabonon, so then obviously Chazal can choose, if they so desire, to waive the Issa under extenuating circumstances. So if you have a look at the top Tosfos. Tosfos says, Misherobu Ha'oimsin, Umay Niyanunu, says Tosfos, Ve'im Toima. If you look at the top Tosfos, Umishom Arnona, just because of this taxation, does it make sense to say, Hitiru Lacharosh Velizroya? Can they possibly permit to plow and to plant the land to have Isura Midai Raisa? How can you possibly permit an Issa Doiraisa just because it happens to be financially difficult? So Tosfos says two tirutzim. V'yesh loima demairi b'shvius bizman hazeh derabono. We're talking about nowadays when Shmita is only a drabonon. If Shmita is only a drabonon, so Chazal can waive Isurim if they see that there's a very big necessity, and that was the exact same teretz that appeared in Rashi. But now Tosfos adds a different pshat. Inami yeshloima. Alternatively, we can say that actually it's not shmita bizman hazeh. It's actually shmita even bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakayom, where it was an issa do'iraisa. Ooh, if it's an issa do'iraisa, how can Chazal possibly be matir? Says Tosfos. Yeshloima the pikuach nefeshu. It wasn't just financially difficult, it was actually life-threatening. Why? Sheshoyel lohem hamelech mas, because the melech was demanding that they pay high levels of taxation. Ve'ein lohem ma yifre'enu, and under some conditions, Boshe didn't have what to pay. And what was the king doing? Umesim b'tfisas amelech, and they would die whilst in captivity with the king. So it was literally pekuach nefesh, v'hochi itma b'Yerushalmi. And this is what's stated in Yerushalmi. It says, mishum chayei nefesh. So what does chayei nefesh mean? Chayei nefesh means pekuach nefesh. So we have two possible explanations. How can it be the Rav Yannai said you're allowed to plow the land? How can that be? Either because Shmita is referring to nowadays when Shmita is just midrabanon, so Chazal can waive it when it's financially difficult, or it's more serious than that. It's not just financially difficult, it's actually pikuach nefesh. Well, if it's pikuach nefesh, well, then obviously we can be matir, even if Shmita is not midrabanon, as minatira, pikuach nefesh is doicha kolatira kuli. And with that, we now go back into the Gemara. We're about 20 lines from the top of the Gemara. Have you got the first word on the line is Soicharim? Not towards the top, there's another line that says Soicharim, but here it says Soicharim Psalim. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Chiya Bar Zarnuki. Rabbi Chiya, V'Rab Shimon Ben Yei Tzedek, Hava Ka'ozlu, they were going La'aber Shono Ba'Asya. They were on the way to a place called Asya, and they were going to be Ma'aber the Shono. We learned this in the first perek, under what circumstances you'd add an extra ador. So this is what they were doing. They were on their way to Asya. They were clearly on the Bezdin that took charge of being Ma'abre the Shon. Poga Buhu Resh Lakish. So Resh Lakish bumped into them. It Pil Bahadayu. So he joined with them. Why did he join with them, even though he was, as it were, uninvited? Nonetheless, Omar, and he said, Ezel, I will go, Echzi, and I will see Heichi of the Uvda. How is this done? I'm curious, what is the process? What is the whole process of being Ma'aber the Shana? So I'm not going as a self-appointed Dayon. I'm just going to observe. I'm curious, how is this done? What is the whole process? What's the whole ceremony? Fine. So now the three of them are all walking towards Asya. You had Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon. They've now been joined by Resh Lakish. Says the Gemara, Chazye lahahu gavra. They saw this person, de kokoriv. Rashi says one word, koriv, chorish. He was plowing the field. Omar Lohen, so he said to them, Resh Lakish turned round to Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon when he saw this person plowing. And he said very, as it were, critically, Koyein v'choyresh. This person is clearly a Koyein, and he's plowing the land in field, he's plowing the land in Shemitah. Now, why did he jump to the conclusion that he's a Kohen? So look at Rashi. Omalu Resh Lakish, Kohen v'chayrish. He's a Kohen and he's plowing the land. Zeh, says Rashi, Kohen hu. He must be a Kohen. How do I know? Shechayrish v'shvias. He must be a Kohen who's plowing the land on Shvias. Why are you jumping to the conclusion that he's a Kohen? The Omrinon lekamon, because later on the Gemara in fact says, Nechshadu koyanim al hashvius. Koyanim are actually suspect. Koyanim have a very bad reputation when it comes to Shemitah, and there is grounds to concern that they don't keep Shemitah properly. Why not? So we'll see if the Gemara explains why. So therefore, when he saw somebody plowing the land in Shemitah, he jumped to the conclusion, well, presumably he's a Kohen. Why dafka Kohen? Because for some reason, Kohenim were very lax. They were very makel with the whole inyan of Shemitah, and they were highly suspicious. Now, he was not giving them the benefit of the doubt, this person the benefit of the doubt. He just jumped to the conclusion that he's being a Chayresh b'shvias and he's being over an Issa. Says the Gemara, Omrulai, so they said to him, how do you know? Yochoi loima, he can always say, Agistoin ani besoichoi. Maybe he can say, I am an Agistoin. What's an Agistoin? Look at Rashi. Agistoin. Sochir, I'm a hired worker. Okay. How does that permit you to plow the land on Shvius? The answer is, the karka shel nochrihu. Maybe it's non-Jewish owned land. You're allowed to work the land in Shemitah if the land is owned by a goy. I'm an employee there, so why are you jumping to the conclusion that this person is being over the aveira of working the land in Shemitah? Maybe he's doing so in a perfectly permissible manner. It's non-Jewish owned land, of course. I don't want to launch into all discussion, but this, of course, gets the whole thing of Heta Mechira. Here in Eretz Yisrael, those who rely on Heta Mechira are relying on this Heta. They sell the land to a guy, and after that, you can do what you like. Let's not get involved in all the politics there. But either way, the Gemara is clearly telling you that how can you jump to a conclusion that this person is a Kohen and he's not observing Shvius? Maybe he is. Maybe he's an employee in a non-Jewish owned field. That's the first pshat. Says Rashi, Inami, alternatively, by the way, the translation of agistoi means employee. I'm an employee. Now, obviously, it does not suffice merely to say that I'm an employee. It's not a heter to work on Shmita in a field just because you're an employee. That's why Rashi has to add, we're talking about that it's a non-Jewish owned field. That's one explanation. Inami mishum arnona. We're going back to the previous sugya. Socharei balabayis lachrish. Remember we said before that when you've got very difficult circumstances, maybe even pekuach nefesh, you're allowed to work the land. So maybe that's what's happening. He's an employee. He's working in the land. How can you do so? He's doing so beheta. In other words, so they retorted, they were answering back to Rish Lakish, why are you jumping to the conclusion without giving the benefit of the doubt that this person is over the Issa of Shemitah? Maybe he's doing so beheta, either because it's non-Jewish owned land or because it's Arnuna, which we said is Muta. That was the first story. Now the Gemara carries on with another story. So, furthermore, Chazye Lahu Gavra, now they saw somebody else, a different fellow, Dahava Kosach Bakarmi. What does Kosach mean? Says Rashi. Kosach Zoymer Kerem. He was pruning a kerem. Now here, Rabbi Yisai, we have to be very, very careful. When you're zoymer, when you prune something and you take off the branches, what do you do with those branches? The answer is nothing. I'm not interested in the branches. The reason why I'm cutting back these branches in order to prune the tree, because that makes it grow better. And that is an Issa D'Oraisa. It's a pasuk right at the beginning of Pashas Bahar, when it says, V'karmecho le'sigtzor, it says le'sizmor, you're not allowed to prune. What would be, and this we have to discuss in a moment, what would be if I'm actually removing the branch in a permissible manner, but it happens to be that will also prune the tree? What will be an example? An example would be, there are some halachas in Shemitah which are mutter to do in order to avoid hefsed. This is the opening Mishnah in Masechtas Moed Katan. Mashkin Beis HaShlochim B'Moed U'B'Shvi'is. You're allowed to water a field. Now, there is different types of watering. Sometimes you'd water a field in order that things should grow. Sometimes things are growing anyway, but if you don't water it, it'll dry out and get ruined. So the Mishnah there says, if you're only watering the field, not for the purpose of causing it to grow better, but rather just to stop it being damaged, then it's muta. And the Gemara explains once again, because Shemitah, Bizman HaZeh, is only Midrabonon, so because it's Midrabonon, you're allowed to do that type of melacha if the reason why you're doing it is just to alleviate damage. The Gemara talks about elsewhere, in Avodah Zorah, what happens if you have a tree which is being infested with worms? Can you do various melachas to the tree? And the answer is yes, because I'm not doing it in order to grow better. I'm just doing it to alleviate damage. So imagine you've got a case like this where it's necessary to cut a branch off a tree for reasons we'll explain in a moment in order to alleviate damage, so it would be mutter. The problem is, at the same time, I'm inevitably also pruning the tree. So I'm really actually doing two things. My kavana is to alleviate damage, but I'm pruning the tree. So it may well be that you have two people doing exactly the same thing. One of them will be mutter, one of them will be osur. How can that be? The one who's genuinely doing it just to alleviate damage will be permissible. The one who's doing so in order to prune the tree will be osur. So now, what do we have in our story? Resh Lakish was walking with Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon, and they saw, says the Gemara, a certain person, they have a kosach b'karmi, who is pruning the vineyard. Kerem is a vineyard. Now, once again, Resh Lakish was very critical. Omar lahen, so he said to them, koyein v'zemer. Once again, I'm jumping to the conclusion, I'm presuming that he's a koyein. As we said before, for some reason, koyeinim are not so particular about Shemitah. V'zomar, and he is pruning the tree. Omar lei, so they said to him, once again, you're not giving the benefit of the doubt. Why not? Yochoil loima, surely he can say that I'm doing so permissibly. How so? La'akel beis habad anitzorech. What does that mean? La'akel beis habad. So look at Rashi. Says Rashi, akel dedurta v'tzricha lebeis habad. Likshoir to tie estapuach hazesim kisha oitzrin oison bakira. Now, how do Art Scroll translate this, Rabbi Yosef?
I am cutting vines only because I need them to use as a netting for an olive press.
In other words, I'm not cutting the vine in order to prune it so that it should grow better. No. Are you allowed to take a fruit off a tree to eat it? Absolutely. Are you allowed to take a branch off a tree in order to use it to make a netting? Absolutely. And he claims, or at least he can claim, that that's what he's doing. So once again, why are you jumping to a conclusion that he must be suspect? And he's not keeping the halachas of Shemitah properly. Look, he's busy pruning. Maybe he's just taking off the branch in order to produce some sort of netting to support an olive tree. In other words, an olive tree is about to collapse. So we said before that to alleviate damage, you're allowed to do malacha. So in order to prevent it from collapsing, I make some type of netting that will act as a support. So why am I taking the branch off the tree? Not in order that the tree should grow better, just to produce a netting to prevent another tree falling. So once again, they were upset with Resh Lakish. Why did you assume that this person is a Kohen and he's a Zomer and doesn't keep Shemitah? Maybe he's doing so in a permissible manner. Now, in this case, in this particular story, Resh Lakish had what to answer back. Look back into the Gemara. Omar lohem. So he said to them, Halev yodea. Well, only the heart knows. Im, now he made a play on words. Im la akel, im la aklaklois. You're telling me he's doing a la akel, which is to support. Well, only he knows, heart of hearts, what his real intention is. Remember we said before, you can have one activity which may be muta, may be osa, all depends on the kavana. So if indeed he's cutting this tree in order to cut it back and prune it, well then it's osa. If indeed he's doing it just to provide netting for a collapsing tree, then it would be muta. So how on earth can I possibly know what his intention is? And the answer is, I can't know. Halev yoidea, his heart will know im la'akel, if he's genuinely doing so to provide a netting for his falling tree. Im la'akal kalois. What does la'akal kalois mean? Look at Rashi. Halev yoidea, libo yoidea. His heart knows im la'akel nischavein. If he genuinely had an intention, he's doing it to support a falling tree. Oy, la'akalkalois. Says Rashi, what does it mean? La'akalkalois, la'avoir aldos, to transgress his religion. So in other words, Resh Lakish tells you that, okay, I accept your defense of this individual, but whether you're right or not, well, only he himself can possibly know. Now, let's press pause for a moment. What's the halacha if I would do this very activity on Shabbos? In other words, am I allowed to cut a branch off a tree on Shabbos? The answer is absolutely not. Why? For one of two reasons. Either it's meleches koitzer, you're gathering in the branch, or it could be meleches zoimer, you're pruning the tree. Now, remember we said before that when a person does meleches zoimer, he prunes the tree. So he cuts it back and he cuts the branches. What does he do with those branches? The answer is he throws them in the garbage. He's got nothing to do with them. He didn't take off the branch because he's interested in the branch. He took off the branch because he wants to improve the remaining tree. What would be, however, if I've got a double intention in mind? I need the branch on the one hand, that's true. And I'm also really perfectly happy for the tree to be pruned. So here, Rabbeinu, we get to a very famous halach in Hilchos Shabbos. We all know this. Dovah she'eino mischaven and psik resha. Dovah she'eino mischaven is when I'm not intending to do something. Psik resha means it's an inevitable consequence. You cannot cut off a head of a chicken, says the Gemara, and say, but I didn't intend it to die. Psik resha, cutting the head. If it's an inevitable consequence, and if somebody cuts the head off a chicken, why? Because I wanted to do something with the head. It's too bad. You knew that the animal would die, and therefore that's an inevitable consequence. You do not have the heter of dovah she'eino mischaven. So now, what happens, again, if somebody would prune a tree, and he also needs the wood? So he's cutting off a branch. On the one hand, he has te'eles, he's got what to do with the branch. On the other hand, it's also beneficial for the tree. How many isurim would he be over? He would be over two. Even if technically he wasn't intending to improve the tree, but if that's an inevitable consequence, then it's a psik resha. And if that's the case, l'chayra, if that's true with Shabbos, so we're a bit stuck now with Shmita. Why are we stuck? Because this person is busy pruning the tree. So Rish Lakish got very upset with him. Oh, he's a Kohen and he's pruning. What do they say to him? How do you know he's pruning? Maybe he's just taking off the branch in order to make netting. That may well be the case. But if it's an inevitable consequence that the tree will become pruned, why would it still not be forbidden? Have a look at Tosus. It's the fourth Tosus on the Amud. La'akel beis habad ani tzarech. La'akel beis habad, says Tosus. But what was his potential excuse? That I wasn't, in fact, trying to prune the tree. Rather, I just need to take the branch in order to create a netting for an olive tree that's falling. Says Tosas, I don't understand Vakasha. This is difficult to understand. Mikol Mokoim, nonetheless, Ma Bekach. So what? So what if his intention is to provide netting for another tree? But what about this tree? Mikol Mokoim Hava Mashpiach HaKerem. But he is, at the end of the day, still improving the Kerem. He's improving the Kerem. What are you going to say? But that wasn't his intention. Beseder, it's unavoidable. So what does it help to say? That he would have come up with an excuse and he would have said, I just want the branch in order to provide a netting, but you are at the same time improving the kerem. And if you're improving the kerem, says Tosfos, you should be chayev, dehochi, omrinon, perek klal gadol. Because we say exact same thing with regard to Hilchos Shabbos, hazoimer v'tzorech le'etzim. If somebody prunes a tree and wants the wood, chayev shtayim, he's chayev a double issa. Number one, Mishum Koitzer. And number two, mishum noitea, you're planting, because when you zoima something, that's like a type of planting, you're pruning in order that it should grow better. Is hochanami, so too, lechayev over here, why don't we say is chayev mishum avoidas noitea, question mark. If you're pruning a tree, thereby causing it to grow better, well, that's like planting. So what are you going to tell me? Yeah, but that wasn't his intention. Who cares? But you see with regard to Hilcha Shabbos, that even if that wasn't your intention, but if it in fact produces that result, it improves the tree, that's considered to be Zomer HaNoteya. In which case, says Tosas, we do not understand this whole story. How can they turn around to Rish Lakish and say that you don't know that he's being over an Issa because maybe he's trying to take the branch for a netting? So what? But he's still over an Issa because it's improving the tree. So he is doing Zoma. Who cares what his intention is? V'yesh loima, says Tosus, da ovid lei. We're talking about he's doing it, but oisai inyan in a particular manner, the vadai kosher lei. He's doing it in a manner which is definitely detrimental for the tree. Now, I'm not a big pruning expert, I must be honest, but I'm presuming from today's verse that if you want to take a branch of a tree in order to prune it, that it should grow better, it's got to be done skillfully. And if you do it in the wrong way, then actually you're damaging the tree and you're not, in fact, improving the tree at all. Says Tosas, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about that he was pruning the tree in a very non-delicate and very non-professional manner, such that it is kosher. It's actually hard. It's difficult. It's detrimental and damaging to the tree. So don't tell me that you should be chayev for automatically pruning the tree, because we're actually talking about a particular case where he's jolly well not pruning the tree. Horaya, he's doing it in a damaging way. The leka lechayve mishum noiteya. Kedomrin on Gabbai Shabbos. Now, there is all Emshech of Tosus, we'll leave it over here. But there is Raboisai lechoira, a very, very obvious question that needs to be asked on Tosus. What's the obvious question that Lechoira needs to be asked on Tosus? Again, go over the story. The story was that they saw this fellow, what was he doing? He was pruning the tree. If he was pruning the tree, Rish Lakish got very upset with him. Oh, he's a Kohen and he's pruning and he's not keeping the halachas. So they told him, how do you know? How do you know he's doing it for the tree's sake? Maybe he's doing it for a collapsing olive tree's sake. And what was his retort? His answer was, okay, maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong. Lev yodea. Only he knows what his true intention is. Now, Tosas has just asked a question. That what does it help to say that his intention was to take the branch in order to support a falling tree, but at the end of the day, he's mashpiach the kerem. And if you're mashpiach the kerem, you're helping the kerem, so you should be chayev mifor mishum zomer and neteya. And what was Tosas' teretz is? No, he's doing it in such a damaging way that he's definitely not helping the tree at all. If that's true, how can the Gemara possibly say, well, his heart knows what his true intention was? What do you mean? You can see what his intention is because he just hacked down the tree in a very damaging way. If the Gemara says, Lev Yodea, etc., etc., doesn't that clearly indicate that what? That he's definitely doing it in a way which could improve the tree. We just don't know if that was his intention. To which Rish Lakish says, fine, we don't know, but Lev Yodea, his heart knows. But if you're telling me like Tosas, we're talking about he's doing it in a very damaging way, he's ripping out the branch and causing more damage, so how can you say, well, Lev Yodea, Lev Yodea. And the emes is, we can really ask a question in the beginning of the story. If we're talking about that he's pulling off this branch in a very damaging way to the tree and he's not assisting the tree at all, then forget the end of the story. Even the beginning of the story is difficult. How could Resh Lakish accuse this person of being Zomer? Didn't he see that he's ruining the tree? Resh Lakish walks down the street and he sees this person taking a branch off the tree. He says, oh, he's a Kohen, he's a Zomer, he's not keeping Hilcha Shmita. What do you mean? Didn't you notice that he's absolutely hacking this tree in a very damaging way? He's clearly not improving the tree. Didn't notice that? It's a tzorachim. There is a tzorachim. There is a hemshech of his tosos. There's an enormous marsha over here. But okay, well, let's read one more line of the Gemara before we run out of time. So we had two stories. The first story, they tried to be Don Lekav Zechus, he's an Agistoin. The second story, they tried to be Don Lekav Zechus, but he's doing it to support a falling tree. Says the Gemara, let's quickly finish off. Hey, Omar Lohu Beresha. Which one of these stories happened first? Was it the plowing of the field or was it the Zomer? Ilei Maha Komaisa, Omar Lohu Beresha. If you're telling me that the first story that was mentioned first in the Gemara, that indeed happened first. And what was his defense? His defense was that he's Agistoin. Well, if that's the case, Hanami Leimru Agistoin Ani Besoichoi, question mark. So why didn't they offer the same defense in the same story? In the second story?
The second.
Once in the first story, they've invented this defense that maybe he's an employee of a goy. So why do you have to start coming up now with a la'akel beis haba? Just say, ditto, copy and paste. Exactly in the same way as we defended the first guy, we'll defend the second guy. So if you see that he's pulling branches off a tree, we don't have to invent a whole story. We'll just say he's an employee of a guy. Says the Gemara, it must be Eloho Omar Liberation. It must be that really this story happened first. And therefore, what was the heter? They came up with the heter of La'akel Beis Sabbat. V'hodam Omar Lahu Hach. And then only after that was the first story. So if La'akel Beis Sabbat, that story came first, and what was his defense? That he's doing it to support a tree. Well, obviously, in the other story, you have to come up with a new defense because this doesn't work in the first story. Okay, we have to hold it over here. As I mentioned, I'm Be'ez Hashem traveling to England today. So unfortunately, I'll not be able to say shir tomorrow or Wednesday, but all being well, we'll resume beginning of next week in Mitzvah Hashem.